sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm John E.
Okay.
With my new glasses.
Oh man, I'm such a bad friend. No, I didn't notice.
Oh, it's also fucking, my kitchen light is blowing everything out. Yeah, they're Coach. Sponsor us.
Coach? Like the Craig T. Nelson TV series?
That's why I bought them.
Because they're Craig T.
Apparently there's some brand. I didn't know there was a brand in New York.
Oh, we live in.
I was like, I want the one, the coach with the guy that's Patrick Starfish, and Craig T. Nelson. I was like, hell yeah! I don't care that they're that expensive. I love this show.
Illy eyewear isn't good enough for you anymore. You got to go to New York.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Because I thought it was a TV show. I was like, I didn't realize it was in New York.
Oh, you know what? I can see it now. It says couch.
Not couch.
Couch. I think you. Yeah, I think you got swindled. From New York.
From New York.
Yeah.
Got swindled in Hollywood, California. Sounds about right.
And welcome to the show. This week we're reviewing Keeper. As always, John gives us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. But John.
Yeah, that accent.
What is that?
Russiff has in the movie, right?
Yeah. What is this accent?
The Malcolm character.
Yeah. What is that accent? His accent was just
I can tell you, but then I think it's a spoiler, so
it's like heavy. He just like heavy breathed through the whole movie, which was very
is he European, is he not? But yeah, I do you know what the accent is. It's just I think a spoiler.
Copy. All right. But John, make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. So Keeper, the second movie from Osgood Perkins this year. Yeah. The guy just,
what is it? The fourth movie in 10 months or something like that.
He's just working at just the freaking highest possible level in terms of just like getting movies made. Apparently he shot this like in between the writer's strike. He got permission during the writer's strike to finish this. So he had to stop working on the other movie he was working on, which is why I think these movies are so close together. But just
that makes
but
sense.
Just the output of it is just like kind of unseen at the moment. I don't think there's been very few times where a director's put out two movies in a year.
Third movie, seriously, yeah.
So
that's, and this one I could understand being pretty easy to bypass any strike because it's it all takes place in the same spot, in a remote cabin in the middle of, like, I don't know where this is supposed to be, but Canada. I guess like New York, near New York somewhere, right?
Oh, like good question. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's upstate New York, but obviously it's not actually upstate New York.
Did they all have coach glasses?
No, nobody wore glasses. Oh, well, I guess Tatiana wore glasses.
I was filmed in Vancouver, British Columbia.
But
standing in for,
in the movie. Yeah.
Gotcha. I didn't pay attention to where.
I think.
I thought for sure, once I saw the green here, I was like, is this Portland? Washington?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't really tell. But Osgood Perkins is, he's cranking him out, man, at a great rate. And we both really enjoyed The Monkey. So. When this movie was announced,
long legs.
When this movie was announced, I immediately put it up there with like most anticipated movie of the year for that simple fact.
Absolutely.
And they have, he's very, very well, him and I believe he works with Neon a lot, right? The film distributor.
Yeah.
They did a really clever marketing for this. You know, it was very, I think they tied it to The Monkey, like as a post-credit scene or something.
Oh yeah. There was a teaser.
And any kind of like ad or trailer I saw was like really minimal. You couldn't get a real good sense of what the movie was about. So literally walking into the theater, I was like, I have no idea what this movie's about.
Oh, you too. So I was going to say my partner said the same thing, but I did see the trailers like last week.
I just knew. Yeah.
There were trailers where you saw visuals of what happens later. You do see what is in the movie later.
Yeah. That's something I did read, that once this, like, basically, if you just Google search Keeper, big spoilers. So if you want to stay fresh and fresh walking into this movie, don't Google anything about this movie. All right, John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Keeper, coming in at number 3. Dudes being dudes for centuries.
For reals.
And coming in at number 2 for Keeper, Cabin Getaway is a real trip.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And coming in at number 1 for Keeper, Reluctant Mother, Sweet as Honey.
Very, very good. And I believe, I think I've only seen, I haven't seen his first movie. Was it Black Coat Daughter? Was that what it was called? I saw Long Legs, I saw The Monkey, and here he's working again with, I'm assuming he's going to be his regular. He seems to really enjoy working with her. Tatiana Masali.
Tatiana?
Yeah. Fabulous actress. I remember her from Orphan, was it Orphan Black? This is when she kind of first popped on my radar before.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
Where she popped up on...
And then Perry Mason was really...
She was really very good in Perry Mason. I have mixed feelings about She-Hulk in retrospect.
Yeah.
But I think that was her biggest, like, mainstream, like, she was, like, literally top billed in that show. But,
So, Osgood Perkins also did Gretel and Hansel, the last one.
Oh, I never saw that one.
Then his first movie is The Black Coat's Daughter, and then something called I Am the Pretty Things That Live in the House.
And Tatiana is, like, stands out in The Monkey. She's excellent in The Monkey. And, playing the mother. And I really love that when, you know, you get a director and actor collaboration together. And I like that she kind of has like a bigger role in this, like the starring role. It's kind of similar to like how Scorsese, I just finished watching the Scorsese documentary on Apple TV, and it's pretty good. I think they focus too much on his early career, and then they just like breeze through like 10 movies in one episode. And I'm like, no, like let's just take time and talk about Kundum and Silence and stuff.
Focus on how he needs to, he brings his own booster seat. So just in case you're wondering and you don't freak out, Osgood is making another movie called The Young People. Mm-hmm. And it's going to star Nicole Kidman, Tatiana Maslany, Heather Graham, Johnny Knoxville. What is this movie going to be? Jesus. I'm going to guess it's not a horror movie.
A little horror, a little comedy, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I like that when, you know.
This movie was a lot of horror and like little smidgets of comedy. Like every once in a while something funny happens, but.
Yeah.
I feel like it kind of like it takes you off guard sometimes. You're like, what?
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think he's very good with that, Osgood Perkins. He's able to mix a little comedy, a little horror, a little strangeness, you know, a little silliness in his movies. With all that said, what did you think of the movie? Your first thoughts?
I really liked it. I really, really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go watch those other two movies. Maybe we'll review them. I don't know. But like, I kind of want to watch everything he does now, I think. Mm-hmm. At least at this point, I thought it was wonderful. The tension was great. I appreciate it's very, would you consider other movies that are in a similar vein would be, not visually and not story wise, but maybe Lucky, right? I haven't actually finished the movie Men, but kind of like Men also sort of.
Okay. Yeah.
Like a sort of through line theme going on.
Like a slow burn. Is that what you mean? Like a terms of pacing?
No, just, the big theme.
The big theme. Yeah. The big theme is toxic masculinity.
Masculinity, patriarchy.
Patriarchy.
Like a lot of throwaway lines like
power dynamics in a relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny when there's a reveal at the end, it's like, that's how shitty men are, is you could be a kind of an old guy and still not know a damn thing about about other people's feelings, really.
Right. Because we're immediately kind of like the movie kind of just opens and they're Liz and Malcolm, the two like leads here, are like already a couple for a year, and we get little tiny snippets of where their relationship is, and then we're kind of just thrust into like he's taking her out to this his remote very remote cabin.
they're like first getaway together, I guess, is supposed to be the idea, right?
Right. And I guess
how did you feel about the cold open?
It's remind just me.
Different snippets of women.
POV of different women from different times. I loved it because it's intriguing enough, and it was the hook for some of the teasers I saw. And it's really it's really interesting the way he just shoots like women's POVs, and they're going through like ranges of emotion, and it's very kind of like immediately like gives you kind of demands your attention a little bit, and it makes you like watch it the way it was shot and stuff, and then you start to pay attention to it, and you see that they're like different women from different eras.
And didn't it kind of give you like, you kind of pretty much knew who they were looking at, right? You kind of knew. I kind of figured that out right away, and I was like, oh no. So I was waiting for the other shoe to drop already. And I think I like that you know that you are already tense for her before you even meet her.
Yes, that's a good point. I would say a lot of this movie, especially early on, has a lot of tension. Like
the whole movie, I would say.
Beautiful. Set this the actual cabin that they found was amazing, gorgeous. Yeah, and it's has all these like sharp edges and big windows and stuff like that, and it's very like contemporary. I don't know, how would you describe it? Like very kind of like modern contemporary cabin.
I don't know, like very angular,
right?
You don't get like a good sense of what the cabin looks like ever. Like there's no wide shot of what it looks like from the outside, really,
right?
You get like a door, and then he's very particular about, they only really shoot in like 4 or 5 different rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a strange angle.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think, and we'll talk about this more in spoilers, but I can't help but think maybe these are like the POVs of something else.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That makes sense. That kind of tracks. Yeah. I loved it. I loved the look of the cabin. And I like that it's a real cabin, but it's just so has unique personality to it. Like it's interesting.
Kind of, and kind of reminded me of the cabin from Mandy a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like it's almost like almost a character in the movie too, right? We spent so much time there, and it's very like lived in, but yet it's like still kind of haunting. I don't know. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I was like, where can I Airbnb this cabin to stay there?
I know.
I did enjoy that.
Even though cabins that far out, I've been in like not anything that extravagant, but you know, you go to one out there and then you walk anywhere and you can hear it in the movie too. The like thuds and the thumps, which this movie had interesting sound design, and the way the sound was done, I was like, is this intentional or was it just because like it's either insanely quiet or like it's just hard to keep everybody else quiet because it's, you're going to walk, you're going to hear a creak of wood.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Again, a really like strong performance from Tatiana. I think it's like she's slightly going mad, right? Like it's Osgood Perkins is a really smart thing where he just sort of like focuses on her, on the performance and her eyes and her kind of going through different things, and really well done. Well, there are things that I didn't like about the movie where I feel like Rusev Sutherland is totally miscast in this part. He's just not, did nothing for me. Presence whatsoever. And even though his character's like mysterious is where I'll leave it, I never got that sense from the guy. He just seemed like he was just breathe heavy and tired like through 90% of the movie. And it's just, I just did not. And in all honesty, I don't think he had any chemistry either with Tatiana. There was, I didn't really see anything there.
The chemistry part I can get past just because of the reveal at the end. I don't think he cares about people the way he says he does.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, no, I could have seen probably somebody else be a little bit better. Like he was acting like a real, well, okay, that tracks too. I was going to say he was acting like a really old person that's aloof.
Yeah.
There's something about his like 18, like he was acting like he was like some, what's a good way to put this?
I feel like
he was acting very like Downton Abbey sometimes, very like, oh, okay, whatever. And then walk away, which I guess does track for something you find out later. But
I think
it's a weird part.
I think we saw what I was looking for is the movie Fresh, right?
Where the
guy's like charming and you can kind of sense that you get wrapped up in his charisma and like his pole thing that he had, you know, that to me is much. And that's how he's able to like get her in the movie Fresh, like, is able to get her out into the cabin and everything. It becomes like
he definitely could have, somebody probably could have done a better job, to be honest. Yeah, because the guy that played his quote unquote cousin did a really good job.
Yeah, even though I feel like his performance is like, it's good, but I feel like it kind of wore it on me a little bit. I was just like, and I think that's the thing about this movie that where I ended up landing was that, like, there's a lot of tension built, but it kind of feels like it goes on forever. And it's supposed to be slow, which is fine. I don't mind that. Yeah. But but it never got like ramped up past a certain point for me. It never, like, it just sort of stayed pretty neutral. And maybe it's,
I will say it did a good job. Like, it did take a long time, but it did a good job of seeing somebody that has been stuck on hallucinogens for like almost 24 hours. Like, that is kind of how it feels when you're just like that for too long and just everything drones and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. No, yeah, I could see that. And a lot of, I believe what I read was that a lot of, like, one inspiration that Oscar Perkins used was Woman Under the Influence. Jenna Rollins kind of, like, I think she won the Oscar for that or got nominated for an Oscar for that one, for the Cassavetti movie. And that was kind of, like, that's famously known as a very raw, naked performance, you know, like, just emotionally being so, like, up and down. And Cassavetti shoots it very well. And I think that was kind of like what they were trying to do with Liz's character. And I think it worked wonderfully. And what did you think of, like, what did you think of, like, the how they showed and represented, like, their pie dynamics in their relationship? Basically, like, I'm talking about the cake scene, right?
It was weird. And I think that is, like, another example of toxic masculinity, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the idea of, like, no, just eat it, you know? Like, my keeper made it.
Right.
Just do it. Like, like, I don't want to. Like, no, come on, just do it. Like, let's just... fucked up. Just somebody doesn't want to do something, don't force him. I mean, you understand why he wanted that later, right? But you also in the moment know right away, like, oh, okay, he's fucking gonna drug her or something. That's not good.
I just like that it like represented like a window and how like men kind of push women to do certain things under the guise of like, oh, well, this is like love or
I did something good for you. Why don't you understand?
Exactly. That? Yeah. I thought that was probably like the most uncomfortable scene in the whole thing. The whole movie for me was just this scene where she has to eat a chocolate cake where she specifically says like, I don't like chocolate. And then she still went ahead and ate it.
And then he says what? No, since when? And she's like, since forever, since I was kid, since you've known me. He's like, what? No, but like, I thought all women like chocolate. So
merely dismissive like, of her feelings and stuff.
Thing to say. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that scene was just like awful for me to sit through. It's just so, but a moment there, and then she ends up eating the whole cake, which, you know, like you said, was drugged,
which makes her stay up like she can't sleep now, and which happens,
right, yeah. So I don't know. It was kind of like but again, like there's like certain like, you know, scarier moments throughout the movie and stuff, but nothing really kind of like gets going, you know, never like gets crazy. Like even like the ending shots of this movie are like, okay, that happened. Okay. I was kind of like, and then they kind of walked you through the ending of it. Like, oh yeah. Okay. Okay. I don't know. I feel like there could have been more examples of like that cake scene throughout the movie showing like their dynamics. And like you could tell Liz's character is insecure because she's talking to her friend like a couple times, Maggie over the phone, and they sort of hint at the fact that Liz is sort of the woman that never gets like the
side chick.
Yeah, she's always the side chick. She never gets the fairy tale happy ending. Malcolm is a doctor, and you know
she has no family.
She has no
right at all. It's just her. And then she's under the assumption that Malcolm's the same way. So, but she also doesn't really know.
Right.
That's something else. Like she never bothered to ask or wants to know.
Yeah, and it's like they're quote unquote a year in, and she still has these like questions about him. This sort of insecurity that he's just like that she's the side piece, you know. She's the side chick. And it kind of hints at that that's who she probably is in other relationships, or it's happened to her before, or she's sort of never chosen, you know, that kind of. And it's almost that contrast, right? When the quote unquote cousin brings the sort of his girlfriend, and she's like quote unquote girlfriend, right? And she's like this model, European model type chick. And it's almost like they purposely do that to show you how different, both attractive, but like you see how different they are in how they, you know, in their looks.
And she kind of brings that up, right? She presents it like, oh, you never went for the super hot girls or like the hot girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, you know, I'm not going to be this. I'm not going to do that. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he kind of doesn't have the right answer either. He just kind of dismisses it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, because he's like, well, Malcolm, you always fall for love and stuff like that. So
he's the slow one is what he said. It's like, what does that mean?
Yeah. Cool. Do you have any other first thoughts before we go to spoilers?
No, other than, and then he leaves for a good chunk of the movie. I was like, that's so fucked, dude.
Yeah, that's another horrible thing that happens. Yeah, he does.
Like, I was like, man, if I wasn't so cold, I'd laugh. Which, by the way, we were at the same screening and didn't know.
This is classic Skeleton Boys shenanigans going on.
We both had the same waitress that we did not care for.
Yeah, could have had the same complaints.
Yeah.
Wish I would have got her name. Blast her out here.
So if you're hearing this, Alamo Drafthouse, 7:30 p.m. showing of Keeper at the DTLA Theater 10. The waitress was rather rude to every single person in the theater.
Right, yeah.
We have that poll, by the way. Anyway, we can get into spoilers.
All right, let's get into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
The cake tastes like shit.
That's
the spoiler.
It was made of shit.
Yeah, this is the part of the movie where, yeah, we could talk more freely. Like, obviously, you kind of hinted at that Malcolm is, like, taking her out there.
200 years old.
Yeah. He's taking her out there, drugging her because he is immortal, right? Is that?
Well.
Walk me through that.
He feeds these nymphs. So what happened was 200 years ago when he was just a young kid, or like, yeah, had to have been like 13-ish. And his younger brother, not his cousin, was with them. They would go out into the woods and see a woman who would dance naked by herself, which was not allowed. But they would watch her. And then when they saw she was pregnant dancing, they just decided he was going to kill her. So he shot her. And then before she died, well, she gave birth to what, though? And it's like you realize quickly that she's like a nymph, like a wood nymph, like a fairy. And they kept the kids alive and feed them whenever they start screaming really loud, I guess, enough to annoy the neighbors. I feel like they also hint that the neighbors also have something like that going on.
I just, the only part that I remember is that they have to feed them because if they don't, they'll leave the forest. Look, hungry. So
yeah,
it's in their best interest to also feed them so they can also, in exchange for
mortality. Like,
but how does that work? Let me poke some holes on this, because how does this work? Because when we saw them in the, like, when they were kids and it's like 1800s or whatever, colonial times, they're kids. They're like legitimately like maybe, you know, no older than 13, 14 years old, right? Very young.
Yeah.
But yeah, when Malcolm is pretty much like an older man. So how does it work that they stay young? Do they slow? Is it just like slowing the age processing down?
Just slowing their aging. Yeah. So I think they stay teenagers for a really long time.
And he doesn't, I was trying to do the math here, because like he doesn't really do this that much, because like they have a scene later in the movie where it's like he has boxes of all the women, which are like the POV shots that we saw earlier. And it's like, maybe I try to count. I was like, maybe like 8 boxes. So it's kind of like, it's been like 200 years and he's only ever done this like maybe 8 or so times. Is that?
Yeah. His brother has also done it. That's what I'm saying. I think they're not the only two people doing it, possibly. But so it's not just him. It's his brother also feeds them. So I think it's like a back and forth. And then they grant them more time.
There were all these moments where like we kind of got a sense of the monster in the cabin or in the woods. You know, they're like
cabin
in the woods. They're like breathing on the glass. They're mimicking the heart that she did earlier. They're up on roofs. And it's just like these little moments to try to like keep the tension that there's something out in the woods and stuff. But then they never like at some point I was thinking like they never outrightly attack Liz, right?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of lost as to why that didn't happen.
Because they are looking at her like she's a reincarnation of their mother.
Yeah. That's what I. You're right.
They kept her head and they preserved it in a bar of raw honey. So they got to see what their mother looked like for a very long time before, you know, it started shriveling a bit.
I don't know if we said this or not, but in that flashback when the boys are killing her, it's Tatiana, you know, and.
Oh,
yeah, she's like, she's the mother, right? She's the woman in the woods, naked, dancing and pregnant and stuff. And she's like the mother of the creatures and stuff.
And then Malcolm even admits that the first time he saw her, he was like taken back because he thought it was like, you look exactly like her.
So,
and I think that's why he loved her so much or whatever.
And then Liz's character also finds the same necklace too and wears it. So are we talking about like reincarnation
I think that right there, that is the children, the fairies presenting these gifts to her.
Oh, I like that idea. That's interesting.
So I think it's been a slow, like presenting things like slowly to her. Like they saw her eat the whole cake. So one of them made another cake for her because like, oh, she likes cake. Like it's like they're like kids trying to appease a mother.
Just based on her looks.
Basically just because she looks exactly like their mom.
What a coincidence.
I don't know. Because at the end, it kind of does feel like, because she keeps the necklace without thinking about it. I think she's like...
I look...
She maybe could have been a reincarnation because we don't actually know how fairies work either, right? You don't know if they're dead forever or...
Right, yeah. Well, I think you have to applaud, right? If you die. Yeah. I think that was one plot detail that is... I would have liked to have fully explored. I feel like it's sort of just presented to us and then we kind of just quickly move on. Like it's supposed to play out. To me, it plays out like a coincidence. Like had she looked like anybody else, she would have died.
Yeah.
But because she kind of looks...
No, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what it would have been, but...
What if... Now, I like to rewrite movies. This is part of this. Let's go to the corner where I rewrite this movie. What if Malcolm has to, what if the mother keeps reincarnating and Malcolm has to find her and offer her to the woods and gets killed each time?
Oh, that'd be interesting.
But in this...
In this instance, I think the idea that she only has one friend and she doesn't have any family or whatever, and she
doesn't sound really familiar at all.
Yeah. No, she doesn't have any recollection. Like she never talks about her past at all.
Yes. Yes. No, she doesn't.
I mean, I'm inclined to believe that she was a reincarnation. She just didn't remember. I feel like we've seen several stories where like the reincarnated person doesn't really realize who they are until they're like, oh yeah, now I remember who I am.
Yeah. I just would have liked to. I like that idea. I just wish it would have like there could have been more evidence of to leading to that. I kind of feel like they leave it open for interpretation.
Yeah.
Unless there's something we totally missed, you know, maybe it'll reward itself with second viewings. But I honestly walked away thinking like that was it.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just a coincidence.
It possibly might be more to see because as like, you know, when you rewatch Long Legs, you see more things in there.
Mm.
I think Perkins here doesn't like to spell it out for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that. I kind of like that idea. I don't need these things explained to me that much. I kind of like that this movie was, you're just here for her story. We're not worried about anybody else.
Yeah.
So let's take the ride with her and feel the same tension and... Until the end, right?
I just think like I get why they like purposely did it for this movie, but I actually would have liked a little bit more fleshing out of like the Liz character, Malcolm character. Just any little more bits of details of who she was before we meet her on this like getaway or whatever.
She worked at a bookstore.
She was in a bookstore. I don't know if she worked there.
She looked like she was behind the counter.
It looked like she was being watched from the thing. I didn't get a sense of that.
The cash register in front of her.
Maybe she was buying a book.
In front of the cash register?
Yeah.
She was like, I'm just going to put my own money in here and ring it up myself.
Well, it is New York. I don't know how things work in New York. No, I just didn't see that. I just hyper-focused on like just her. I'm assuming that's the first time like Malcolm sees her and then like puts two and two together that.
And then.
But what's Malcolm's charm?
He does the long legs.
Yeah.
Shot like at a sort of bus stop almost, but it's just him.
I think it would have made more sense if like Malcolm was like drugging them and getting them to get what he wanted. Cause I didn't get this guy's charm. He's so like a nothing guy in this movie, in my opinion, like the character. I didn't get like, what's interesting about this guy? Why is he who attracting women? You know,
you can also chalk that up to that's something else the fairies grant him so he can feed them.
Right. Yeah. Quickly, I know this one's going a little long, but like the other part of it was I didn't like that when he kind of like talks to her and breaks it down and explains like what's going on and stuff. She's just like, oh, it's you can't escape the cabin. All the doors are locked. That's part of their magic. And I'm like, really? Like, is that just like a hand wave away? Like, you can't leave. It's magic. You can say that about anything. It's magic.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, these things are definitely not based in any sort of reality. So whatever they can do, they can do. I'm not going to argue with against that.
It just seemed too convenient. Like, oh, it's magic. No, that didn't rub you the wrong way, that sort of reasoning.
No, I saw like one of the things stretch its neck all the way down and look like a wood person. And I was like, all right, so whatever happens to here on out. Like,
yeah, I guess it explicitly saying like, oh, it's magic. Like, I don't know. That's part of their magic. Like, I was just like, I don't know. I don't know enough about these creatures.
Which is also like a simplified version that some dude's telling somebody. Like, just like, yeah, it's magic, whatever.
Right, yeah. So from what we...
Like, he never bothered to learn what it really was.
Yeah, so essentially, like, Malcolm presents Liz to these creatures to eat, but then they kind of embrace her and don't eat her. And they give her the power that Malcolm had. And then Malcolm ages... Sort of, I guess they took away his ability to not age anymore.
Yeah.
And then...
But I also do appreciate in this movie that of all the children, there's one that keeps adopting each of the women that dies or like as a part of her face. She wears the bag over her head. She's the one that tries to present the cake.
Right.
I think it's a pretty cool move to present that they are very aware that this isn't their mother. Like, this isn't the woman that birthed them, but they're like, they feel like they need her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's... You get like a full 180 of, because the whole movie, every time she talks to Maggie on the phone, you get the sense that she has no idea who she is. Mm-hmm. And when Maggie's like, oh, now you're like kept in there, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, fuck you. I'm not kept. I'm not, you know, a housewife. I'm not a side chick. I'm not this. And it's like, she doesn't know who she is and she's panicking. Mm-hmm. And I think she finally gets a full sense, finally, of family. And she's a tree hugger. So.
They become street racers. Rob DVDs off trucks. It's a prequel to Fast and the Furious, guys.
Her name is Poison.
But yeah, no, I gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Like, it kind of gives her like power and like purpose. And she's not going to like, she's empowered by not only the creatures, but like now as she's a little more confident, a little bit less, has an identity now. Right.
Yeah, because the whole movie, I think another idea of the patriarchy, she felt like she needed Malcolm, even when shit was going bad.
That's true.
Like, mm-hmm. She'd be like, I need to go home. And he's like, no, no. And she's like, okay. You know, like, she couldn't, she kept giving in.
Right, yeah.
It was interesting. I liked it.
Yeah, so did I. Cool. Did you have any thoughts?
I have to agree with you. Yeah. I try not to let it bother me, but the more you talk about it, yeah, I feel like, Rossif was not great.
He was just a lot of, oh, I have to go back into the city. Double surgery.
It's like
it's a lot of heavy breathing.
It was his performance was serviceable, but it could have been better since everybody else in the movie was really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like his cousin or his brother, right? I thought he did great.
Right.
Like when he comes back, I thought it was going to be a weird thing where he tries to sexually assault her or something, but no, he was just full on like, oh, Malcolm fucked up.
Yeah.
Now I got to fix this.
Right. Right. We have to feed the things or whatever, the creatures.
And then he gets his head chopped off.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah. Okay. Do you have any thoughts before I rate the movie?
No.
Okay. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give Keeper 8 sexy spooky bones.
Oh, man. I don't know if I should say it. What should I say?
You're going to give it a
7? I'm going to give it a 6, I think. I don't think I enjoyed... I liked a lot of it, but I didn't enjoy parts of it, large parts of it. I don't know if like rewatching it would help, but in the moment, I think I'm leaning more towards like a just okay movie. Just pretty good. Just okay. It's fine. It's a good movie. I would recommend it. It's definitely a movie you have to like think over a little bit and ruminate on some of the things they're talking about, some of the themes and stuff. But it's there for the most part. It's just like little things. I think like I don't think the third act delivered in a satisfying enough way. Because it felt very like predictable.
You wanted Malcolm to win.
I wanted a little more chaos, a little more like freneticness. Like finally everything's out, you know. But I don't think it ever really got the pace of it. Ever really kind of got there for me. So for now, I'll give it a 6. All right, guys, gals, I'm Binary Pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.